This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ben Standing's with us like he is every Monday at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk reported this morning, take it for what it's worth, that the Bengals' offer to Trey Hendrickson was a lowball $28 million a year offer. One of the reasons he's been very upset. Just comparatively, you're talking about Max Crosby just signing for $35.5 million per year. Miles Garrett just getting a deal at $40 million per year. But even a guy like Danielle Hunter, who is in the age category of Trey Hendrickson, he makes $35.6 million. This would put him $28 million if he accepted it in sort of that 6 to 10 range of pass rushers. So the if true, that is what I would refer to as a lowball offer. I think that is a fair description to Trey Hendrickson. How it plays out, who knows? Ben's with us. You know, this has been kind of a conversation that we hit on one out of every two times we talk, going back to, you know, pre-draft. Something's got to happen there. I doubt he's going to play for $16 million, which is what he's going to get paid this coming season, and then hope that the Bengals don't franchise him in free agency. Where are you today? He re-signs and plays in Cincinnati. He gets traded. He just holds out and doesn't play.
So wait, so the report is he got offered $28 million a year, an average of $28 million a year for X amount of years?
Yep.
Okay, so that actually to me says that he's going to sign there, because that's more than I was guessing. I mean, yes, it's certainly lower than some of the other guys that you mentioned, and obviously Trey Hendrickson has been, you know, pretty really, really good the last few years. But, you know, if we're going to go with some sort of like a – you know, a negotiation thing. Okay, in my head, I was thinking 30.
That's their latest offer.
Right. So I'm saying if that's the latest offer, then, like, I mean, I don't know what exactly his side was looking for, but to me, like, $30 million sort of seemed to be, like, a reasonable number potentially. And so that's not that far apart. I was thinking it might be even more further apart than that. So that actually, to me, sort of bodes well. I mean, look, Trey Hendrickson's been around for a while. He doesn't give a crap about this offseason workout program, right? No, none of these guys really want to get involved in that. And now he has been very public about it, obviously. So it's not, he's clearly, you know, not happy about the situation. But like you said, you're not going to play on the $16 million. And at the same time, you know, sitting out, you're not getting the money back, and he's going to get fined and all these things. So I don't know. It sounds to me like there actually might be more of an opportunity there than I was thinking, you know, otherwise. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, if he's steadfast in thinking there's a certain number that if he doesn't get, he's not going to play, then, you know, maybe that's where this goes. But if they're up to that, I don't think 30 is that far away.
Yeah, I don't know that I see it the same way. I mean, like you got to consider Micah Parsons is going to sign, more likely than not, a huge deal. So, you know, when you get Garrett, Hunter, Crosby, and Bosa all at 30, and then you add Parsons all at 34-plus, he wants to be in the top three. They're probably a long way apart from where what he's looking for and what they're offering. Doesn't mean they won't get there, but it might be a long way away. We'll see. The other thing I saw this morning, you know, again, the time of year where there's just a lot of, hey, there are free agents still out there. What are the right fits? And Matt Bowen wrote that the best fit for J.K. Dobbins, the running back that was in L.A. with the Chargers last year, would be Washington. I know that we've had conversations about guys like Dobbins and Chubb. Do you think they're set at running back, or do you think that they are still looking?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this to some degree. In a mailbag I did recently, one of the questions was like, sort of, so who would you guess would be this year's like Jahan Dotson or Ridgeway, guys who, you know, get traded to get back extra.
Oh, yeah, right.
Dotson in particular was a surprise.
Right.
Brian Robinson was sort of the one I was like, you know, I don't know necessarily what to think about a trade, but just because of the position. But, yeah, I still wonder about that spot to a degree. I mean, you know, based on what they have right now, I think there is a legit opportunity for the rookie Kraske Merritt to get involved. Again, I'm not going to say he's the starter by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously Eckler is better. You know, less is more. In terms of usage, and Jeremy McNichols was a solid backup last year, but that's kind of all it is. So the question is like, what else could they do? And I do think one of the issues with Robinson is like, it's just kind of, when he's in the game, he's a non-threat as a pass catcher. He basically had just like one catch a game more or less last year. He's at best okay as a pass blocker, and obviously the running itself kind of faded down the stretch, and you know, I don't know if they view it as an issue with him or the line was problematic. Obviously they did go out and add, new pieces for the line, but yeah, I still think like in the overall context of a Cliff Kingsbury office, that offense, that to me still seems like the one spot
yep.
where they're missing something. And Dobbins, look, the question with him has been health primarily. Right. So, he had a big, devastating injury when he was at the Ravens, came back last year to the Chargers, you know, maybe an extra year removed would help the cause. So, you know, in theory, if he's healthy, he is the type of back I think would make some sense. And yeah, I still wonder if there is an opportunity here for Washington to make a move. Again, they may be set. They may think, hey, Robinson was very effective, particularly the first half of the year in short yardage situations and all that. But I think that's a spot where if you told me something was going to happen, I would be not surprised.
Yeah, Dobbins, you know, is younger, much younger than Nick Chubb by a few years. He had an MCL sprain last year, missed four games, rushed for 905 yards. He's got breakaway potential, but he's had a lot of injuries, man. I mean, he had an ACL, he had an Achilles. He's had a number of injuries during the course of his year. But last year, despite missing four games, 905 rushing yards and tied a career high in rushing touchdowns with 9. I could still see that. I could still see something happening there. And to your point, you know, moving on from somebody for, you know, a day three pick as well in the process. I'll ask you the question that I asked callers. I had somebody send me a note saying, you know, this year would be the first time in 20 years, I think we all know this, that if Philadelphia were to win the division, that the NFC East would have a repeat division winner. So I'll ask you, does Philly break the trend and repeat for the first time in 20 years, an NFC East champion repeating, or do we have a new NFC East champion in 2025?
Well, history would tell me to definitely say they don't were beat, because that's crazy trend. But I think the Eagles got it. I don't know what, like, say the odds makers have put this, but I would think they're still a pretty decent favorite.
They are.
To repeat, I mean, we've gone through in the past, Washington's, not discounting what they did last year, but just, it's a very different deal. They're not going to sneak up on anybody's harder schedule, better quarterbacks, whatever. Philly just has still so much going for them. I mean, obviously, if something happens to the quarterback, then, that you can, who knows? They did lose a couple pieces on the defensive line, but they still have plenty of bodies there. I would say today Philly's going to repeat. I think I wrote when the schedule came out and we had to write something on The Athletic about the Commanders, I had to do a prediction order for the division, and I had Philly first. History says don't be so sure, and I think a lot of us are probably to some degree discounting Dallas a bit because last year, was not that great. They've just been kind of meh. But, they have plenty of talent, between Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and others. And, I won't put the Giants as a potential category, but I also think they're better than their record would suggest last year by a decent amount. But, yeah, I would still say Philly, to me, would be hard to argue against them not being the team to beat and the team that does get it done.
I'm sure you saw this, but I don't know that everybody listening saw this. So on Friday, the Jets released Greg Zuerlein. We all remember the kick that Greg Zuerlein made on Christmas Eve 2023 to beat Washington, just snuck inside the left upright, and that ended up being the difference between Washington selecting second in the 2024 draft versus what more likely than not would have been fourth in the NFL draft, and Jaden Daniels ended up being there at second. But the other thing, and I'm not sure people heard about this from late last week, but Seth Wickersham's got a book coming out on quarterbacks, and a big part of that book has been excerpted over the last few days, the parts involving Caleb Williams and how much Caleb Williams and his father Carl Williams tried to circumvent the NFL draft and try to influence where Caleb went, because Carl Williams did not want him playing for Chicago. He told several agents that. He told Seth Wickersham that in the book. Seth, and it goes on and on. I talked about this on Friday, Ben. I'm assuming you've read a lot about some of the Caleb Williams, Carl Williams lead up to the 2024 draft. But Seth Wickersham on a Chicago radio station on Friday said that the Bears, quote, never even scouted Jaden Daniels, closed quote. To think that you've got the number one pick in the draft and the player that you've fallen in love with and are convinced should be your pick at number one doesn't want to play for you. And he's made that very clear. He and his father have made that very clear, that you wouldn't even look at the other quarterbacks is insane. Now, he didn't say any other quarterback wasn't scouted. He said the Bears did not scout Jaden Daniels. So between Greg Zuerlein and the Bears not scouting Daniels, Washington ended up with Jaden Daniels at number two. Not to say that if the Bears had scouted Daniels, that he would have been the number one pick. But, man, there is always kind of this very sharp, fine line between, 12-5 and 5-12.
Yeah, look, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, look, we just witnessed this with the NBA draft lottery. The Wizards do all the right things in terms of losing, and they don't, the ping pong balls don't bounce their way. In this case, Washington needed the Jets needed Zuerlein to make that kick to avoid winning. And I guess they needed the Bears to just be so tunnel vision on Caleb Williams. Now, I find it hard to believe that they didn't scout him. I don't know what that means exactly, because obviously you're going to have people all over the country, and LLC is a big program. But okay, that aside, I remember in real time thinking this is really kind of odd that they are so locked in. Like we knew they were taking Caleb Williams, you know, weeks before the number. I mean, it wasn't even like we were just speculating. Like they were pretty apparent about it that that's what they were doing. And you know, if their assessment was that Caleb Williams was a guy, so be it. But you know, in the lead up to that draft, I mean, you know, a lot of people were like, "Hey, Caleb Williams is pretty good." When I did a survey that year that I wrote about, like, "Hey, rank these quarterbacks," and Caleb Williams was viewed as the number one, but some people thought Jaden Daniels was the guy to take. And I think the whole Caleb Williams story that just came out, or the report that just came out from Seth Wickersham, there was a couple things that really bothered me. One, the fact that, like, and I saw Ross Tucker say this online and made me think of this, like, the fact that they're even talking to a writer about this publicly is one thing to question, that I would question the Bears if I were them. But, like, they openly talked about it with a reporter is curious. Like, what, you know, that to me doesn't bode well for, like, sort of decision-making. And then he says that nobody – he watches film alone because nobody – something like nobody taught him how to –
Right,
you got to be kidding me with this. He was being prepped to be this guy since high school. Like we all, you know, we knew it was a big deal when he went to Oklahoma, then to USC, because he was viewed as the number one guy, and it wasn't just because he was here in DC, although that was a large part of it. Like he was that guy. Then he gets to Oklahoma, and he's at USC. He's got Lincoln Riley as his coach. Lincoln Riley, who's coached Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts, and like he's the guy that's like, you know, he became the hot quarterback guru for college coaches. You're telling me that guy didn't help you in that regard? I don't know. That seems pretty weird. And it just brings up to the point that, you know, we focus so much on the physical aspects of these guys, but it's also the other aspects of it, the being the leader. And you know, one of the things with Jaden that we've heard over and over again is just how much he is respected in that building. Same thing from what I heard at LSU too, but just, you know, he is a leader by example. Last year he did, you know, I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal. Did he say one wrong thing? Like, I don't think he did. You know,
I don't think nothing. He said one wrong thing since this season ended. There's been zero controversial moments with Jaden Daniels. Zero. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, nothing. I mean, as the reporter sitting there, sometimes like, hey, come on, say something fun. But yeah, no, he says nothing, nothing. So like like none of his teammates say anything. There's no whispering, nothing. So like that is a huge component, especially for that position, you know, because it is, you know, the face of the franchise. You're going to be the leader on offense at a minimum, if not the whole team. So yeah, I mean, I think that if the Bears were so blinded by what they viewed as the better talent. And again, well, Caleb Williams may ultimately turn out to be great.
Yeah, who
Maybe
knows?
He's a better quarterback, all that. But, you know, yes, I mean, in terms of it does seem like there may be some tunnel vision. Whether I find it hard to believe they didn't scout him, quote unquote, but they clearly fell in love with Caleb Williams early on and had the tunnel vision to take him. So, yeah, I think there's still red flags there. And this Wickersham thing, you know, does not change that for me.
Yeah, the only thing in reading through the excerpts, and the book's not out yet, is that what struck me is I certainly consider as a possibility that this was a lot more about his father than it was about him. And in those situations, sometimes you have to understand he is still, you know, 22, 23 years old, and the father's been a big part of, you know, the process everywhere in his life. Because, you know, at one point there is this visit with the Bears and Caleb just says to his dad, I can make this work. You know, I can do it for this team. I'm going to the Bears. And then his father kind of relented after that. So you don't know how much was the kid versus the father. My guess is it was probably a lot more the father. But yeah, a lot of smoke, a lot of dust kicked up around that draft choice, not nearly as much about Jaden Daniels. I mean, the most we read about Jaden Daniels when we're not talking football is about his mother And I listened to that interview with Ryan Clark the other day on his podcast. I thought she was pretty impressive. But, you know, you never really know for sure. But, yeah. Crazy, though, that if the, you know, what level of scouting? I'm sure they looked at him. Did they sit down? Did they spend as much time with him as they should have? I just can't imagine that their attention wouldn't have turned away from Caleb at some point to consider seriously the other options once they made it clear to the team, we don't want to play for you. You know, not that they have a choice in today in the way it's structured. But at that point, given how deep that quarterback draft was, I can't imagine that they wouldn't have at least really seriously considered a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. But apparently they didn't. All right.
Yeah, I mean, at a minimum, if they had, like, I don't know what New England was thinking, but again, at a minimum, if you traded, if New England really wanted Caleb Williams, you traded down from 1 to 3, you would still get Drake May. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that they didn't explore all their options, but at the same point, they really locked it in pretty early. By the way, can I go back to the Trey Hendrickson thing for a quick second?
Sure.
All right. So I'm looking here just at the list of the salaries for edge rushers of the guys who are higher paid. The only two guys who are he's 31 or will be at the start of the year. So T.J. Watt and Danielle Hunter are the only other two guys who are 31. Myles Garrett is 30. Danielle Hunter had to leave. He switched teams to get the new deal. So, like, most of the other guys are younger. And I bring this up because, you know, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Terry McLaurin. And I think it's going to be a little bit of the same conversation, perhaps. I mean, I'm not saying they won't get something done. But of all the players who are currently...
He's older.
The top guys are Ja'Marr Chase, 25, Jefferson, 26, Lamb, 26, Metcalf, 28, A.J. Brown, 28. And, yeah, so I do, like, that's the one thing, like, statistically, Trey Hendrickson should get, you know, what those guys are getting and Terry the same, but that would be the one thing held against them. The only receiver the same age or older than Terry at the start of the year is going to be Tyreek Hill. All the other guys who were paid more than him were, you know, anywhere from, you know, 1 to 5 years younger. So the age thing, I think, is where I wonder if the Hendrickson side and the Bengals can ultimately work something out. That, like, if that's the variable, then they can find some ground as opposed to disagreeing over, like, how good he actually is or something.
Yeah, I think these pass rushers probably have a little bit more longevity to their careers than wide receivers. And 28 puts him, you know, like, eighth among edge rushers, and he's got 35 sacks in the last 2 years, clearly number one in the league. I've guessed all along it was going to be north of $30 million a year, and it's going to be, you know, for it to be in the top three, and if you even consider Micah Parsons, it's going to have to be at 35-plus, which is why 28 seems a little lowballish to me. But it wouldn't be the first time, you know, for the Bengals mode.
It's also, and you may have said this in apologies, but like $28 million right now, that's where Josh Allen and the Jags is getting the defensive end. The next highest is Nick Bosa at 34. So there's a massive gap there. So basically, if this is an accurate report, the Bengals are taking the highest of that lower tier, and there's a big gap. So it all seems like that's a more negotiation, as opposed to it seemed like they were being more hardline. Based on earlier.
Look, if you think 30 is the right number, then it's negotiation. If 35 is the number, it's lowball.
I don't think 35 is the number.
Top five, it's going to have to be close to 35 because we've got Bosa is fourth right now at $34 million with Crosby, Hunter, and Myles Garrett ahead of him.
I think
so. If he wants to be in the top five, it's going to have to be 34 plus. But you know, Micah Parsons is certainly going to get 35 plus.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think there's a world where, like, maybe the deal is if it's a slightly lower number than the Hendrickson side wants, then give him lower years or a player option on the third year or something along those lines, so he can get back out there. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's if it's 28, they're specifically picking a number that is below the top tier. So it feels like that type of negotiation. But, you know, again, we'll see.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Awesome, man. See ya.
Okay. Something Scott McLuhan said to me last week, a lot of you weighed in on. I'll go back to that. And then I haven't had a chance yet to kind of share with you my thoughts on NBA's Game 7 yesterday in Oklahoma City. We'll do that as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
No Kevin on a Thursday. Instead, you're getting the former producer. Denton Day sitting in for Sheehan. We got the whole crew here. We got Mad Max. We got our video producer Brian along with us. We have a great show for you on this Thursday. Kevin is getting a much-needed vacation for like 10 days, something along those lines. So I'll be in next week as well, chopping it up with you guys, hanging out. We got a lot of things to get into over the course of the next 3 hours, but this is a show where you can freely talk about basketball, right? That's what I've been told, Max. Am I correct there?
Yes. We can hockey, not so much. Basketball, very, very green.
Well, thankfully, I watched the wrestling, and I've been trying to get Kevin to be a fan of professional wrestling for the longest of times. And one of the things that I have been trying to get him into professional wrestling for is because of the thrill of everything, the entertainment of everything. And why do I bring this up? Because last night was professional wrestling in its finest. What we saw in Madison Square Garden, the meltdown in MSG, was professional wrestling in every single aspect of what I want professional wrestling to be. You had a hero, you had a villain, you had a hometown crowd that was passionate about their hero, and you had the villain in particular, being the one to crush the hopes and the dreams. If you didn't watch the game, you missed out. Kevin has said this 1,001 times. I will echo him. The NBA postseason is so different than the NBA regular season. It's filled with excitement. It's filled with great play, great shot making. Defense was a little optional, but at the point in the NBA postseason where you start to see these massive numbers run up on the scoreboard It is just more about how good these guys are at shot making that allows them to score points, because some of the defensive plays and defensive efforts were still very much there last night, and it just didn't matter. Indiana walks into the belly of the beast in Madison Square Garden, and they walk out with a win, and they do it in a fashion that we have not seen before. Literally ever. It was a historic fashion in the way that they beat them, just based off of the way that the fourth quarter ended up playing out. Never in the history of the league had a team been up 9 points with what? I mean, Max, you sent me this stat. It was 9 points with under a minute, right?
The one I sent you on Twitter last night from AP?
It was
Knicks led by 14 with 2:45 to play in the fourth quarter and are now in overtime versus the Pacers. Teams leading in playoff games by 14 plus in the final 2 minutes and 45 seconds of the fourth quarter were 994-0 in the play-by-play era since 1997.
994-0. And that is now 994-1. Like the Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, the streak is over, and it's because Tyrese Halliburton and the play that he thought he won it on, that he ended up tying to force overtime.
Honest, I thought he won it too.
And which, by the way, we'll get to the celebration in a second. That celebration should have been reserved for a win. He didn't know it, but we'll get to that in a second. The play that he won it on, in watching it over, stayed up to watch the game last night. Watched it again this morning multiple times, very early in the morning. Came from the other job. Long day for you, boy. Watching it multiple times, I laugh harder and harder every single time, because he could have gone one-on-one with Mitchell Robinson at the rim, potentially draw a foul. Maybe he gets a three-point play and one at the basket. Instead, he goes there. He kind of pivots like right in the middle of the paint and was like, mm-mm, I don't want that smoke. But also, I want to play the hero, sprints back to the three-point line, and then turns and shoots it, which, by the way, Tyrese Halliburton, very high on the list of guys that are very good players in the NBA that have atrocious-looking jumpers. He shoots like he is wearing a backpack at all times. It is the ugliest jump shot, I think, that is currently in the NBA. You could say Sean Marion from years past, but currently in the NBA, it's one of the ugliest-looking jumpers. He sprints back to the three-point line to effectively win the basketball game. And then it's the way that he hit the shot, Max, that I think adds to the pro wrestling nature of this entire thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Kawhi shot against the 76ers.
Exactly. But you're on the road.
Yeah.
Whereas the Kawhi was, you know, game seven, this is it. You're at home. This is on the road. It bounces off of the back iron, and it bounced off the back iron in a way where it felt like, because it went so high in the air, it was not going to come back down and fall. And like, just the way that physics normally work, if you bounce that high off the back of the rim, that thing is falling to the right. It's falling to the left. Instead, it fell straight down, and you could just feel the air deflate out of Madison Square Garden.
Like a vacuum. Just boom.
Gone. With literally in about a millisecond. And then Tyrese Halliburton's doing the choke. And Kevin Harlan is calling the basketball game. He's won it. He hits a three. They go into replay, and his, like, the tip of his toe is on the line. Very similar, if you're a hoop head. Take you back a few years. Kevin Durant taking on the Bucks when Durant had like 49 or 50 or whatever it was. It was one of the crazier playoff performances. It was very similar to that. We thought he won it, but he had a big toe on the line. That's what Halliburton did. But then he immediately goes for the choke. Immediately, with Reggie Miller in the crowd calling the game for TNT, which, putting him on the broadcast, I mean, he's like their second color analyst, so that makes sense. It's him and Van Gundy. Those are one and two, and everybody loves the three-man booth nowadays. I prefer a two-man booth, but they didn't ask me. Having Reggie there, those two passionately locking eyes when he's doing the choke, but then the wherewithal to then do the choke immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was grading this, I'm giving it a 7, knowing what I know now, because he didn't win.
Yeah.
And there was still time left for New York to end up winning the basketball game. They didn't. Just want to put that out. They did not win. I'm reveling in the misery of Knicks fans, by the way. Like, it was fun to watch them get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, but after about a minute, 2 minutes of watching all the videos of them, like, storming the streets
They're throwing trash on that one dude,
although he knew what he was getting into. The fact that he's now flying to a game, I hate when you reward pranksters on the internet, and that's basically what Tyrese Haliburton was doing. Like, oh, it's a feel-good moment on the Pat McAfee show, but not really. But I got so annoyed with the New York Knicks fans after that. Like, I know some Knicks fans that are not as obnoxious as that. I don't feel like we as a fan base, when Washington, the Commanders, got back to the NFC Championship, I don't feel like we were that annoying. Maybe we were. Maybe there are a couple Brian fan bases.
Brian, the noted Dallas Cowboys fan in this room, just made a very funny noise where he just went,
Perfectly fine. He's a rival.
It's true.
But to the non-rival, like, we're not a rival of the Knicks. The Wizards don't have any rivals. Their rival right now is winning. And the NBA draft lottery, that rigged SOB. But for someone that had no skin in the game, just watching them be annoying was like, I think I'm rooting for the Pacers in this one. I would have loved it if the choke was reserved for a win. So I'm grading it a 7. It would have been a 10 of 10 if he drills that. I mean, game 1 instead of a game 7, whatever. But he drills that, does the choke immediately. This is why, and again, this is goes back to the pro wrestling thing. This is why you cannot troll people that watched and grew up watching professional wrestling. Everything about professional wrestling is entertainment first. There's athleticism involved in it. It's entertainment first. So when you're a guy like Tyrese Haliburton that is a very open fan of professional wrestling and the world that professional wrestling is, as soon as anything good happens, he is immediately looking, how am I going to troll? And he had that choke thing on deck. He was ready for it, and it just didn't work out to the absolute version of perfection. But he was still able to make it work because Indiana then goes and wins the basketball game. And they win the basketball game in overtime. And maybe the funniest thing on top of that was at the very end with 0.2 seconds left when Tyrese Haliburton, instead of inbounding the ball, just handed it to Karl Anthony Towns.
It's like, here you go, man.
Sure. I mean, the cherry on top to end the troll was, here, you take it. And then Karl Anthony Towns, he tried his best to throw it, you know, full court. You can't, just based off of the amount of time, you're not getting a shot off in 0.2 seconds. It's basically under 0.3, has to be at the rim and a little bit of a tip-in. But trolling, does the choke, hands the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, and oh, by the way, he happened to go for 31-11 in the process. And oh, Aaron Nesmith happens to go for 30. That dude was averaging like 14 points a year. He had like 19 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That guy was a flamethrower. New York just could not do anything, and every single mistake that they could have made in the fourth quarter, they ended up making. And they actually saved some of them because they were nearly turning the basketball over on inbounds plays. Like, this is basketball history 101. If you're a new fan of the NBA, if you're an old fan of the NBA, you know the iconic moments in league history where guys have turned the basketball over on inbounds passes. You have to have that specific element of the game ironed out to the best of your ability. You cannot add to the list of teams that lose on inbound passes. And damn it, did New York try to lose on inbound passes last night. Brunson was awesome. He goes for 43. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, who is not my favorite player. I hate watch Karl Anthony Towns. I've been very honest about that with Kevin, with friends of mine that work in the NBA, with friends of mine that cover the NBA. I hate watch Karl Anthony Towns, and I will not ever apologize for hate watching Karl Anthony Towns. Nothing against him, the person. I just hate the way that he plays basketball. He goes for 35-12. So your two superstars in New York are able to get it done, and they just could not overcome the star power. Wink, wink, hilarious irony, cough, cough. They could not overcome the star power of Indiana. Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in professional basketball. And the fact that Indiana was able to land him because other franchises decided to fire him is laughable. How do you let Rick Carlisle go? I mean, shout out to Dallas for doing it all those years back. But Carlisle is a borderline genius when it comes to some of the plays that he drew up, when it came to getting a team that is not exactly, they're not afraid of any moment. Whatever moment you can come across, they are not afraid of it. We gave you that statistic, 994-1 now of teams leading by 14 points with about 2:30 left to go winning the basketball game. Here's another crazy statistic. Since 96-97, teams that have trailed by 7+ in the final 50 seconds at the fourth quarter and or overtime in the playoffs are 4-1,702. 4-1,702 teams that have trailed by 7+ in the final 50 seconds of a playoff game in regulation or overtime. Indiana is 3 of those 4 teams this year. This year. They've done it 3 times this year. So while everybody is celebrating the Knicks, while they're dancing in the street 2 days ago, 3 days ago, when they finally clinched their berth to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're dancing in the streets. They are throwing trash at humans wearing the opposite color jersey. They're renaming streets in flippin' New York, for crying out loud. After the numbers of the players, you can go drive on Jalen Brunson Street. Drive slow, try and get someone to crash into you. Insurance fraud on the way, baby. You could drive on Karl Anthony Towns Street. OG Anunoby tweet. Like, you can drive on streets named after the Knicks. They're not in the finals. They didn't win the finals. They're literally just in the Eastern Conference Finals. That is where I will take a lot of pride in our city. Brian made a mighty noise when I said we weren't that annoying. We didn't rename 14th Street. 5th Street didn't become Jane Daniels Street. T Street isn't Terry McLaurin Street all of a sudden because they're going to the conference finals. New York went above and beyond with this, and then they'd lose in this fashion. Oh my God, it brings joy to my soul. I'm rooting for the little guy. I might have also bet on the Pacers to win this, so there is some financial backing behind my emotion, my emotional outburst, if you will. But this is so much fun to watch because the little guy is winning, and the little guy has the biggest troll in the NBA. Joel Embiid has nothing on Tyrese Halliburton when it comes to trolling. Embiid is a social media troll.
And conference finals appearances.
That's it. And conference finals appearances. That's 2-0 in favor of Tyrese Halliburton right now. He's about to sweep Joel Embiid's ass. He is a social media troll. That's it. Tyrese Halliburton is about that action. He's going to troll you during games. He's going to troll you doing media. There is no length that he will not go to troll the opposition. And then he backs it up in the process. Now, is there a game where Tyrese Halliburton is going to score like 12 points in this series? Yes, I guarantee that there will be. In fact, I work for BetMGM Network, as most of you now know. That's why I don't work on the Kevin Sheehan Show anymore. I was looking at some like weird bets that you could make for this entire series. And Tyrese Halliburton scoring 15 or more points in every single game in this series was at plus 275. That's why he's a star, not a superstar. In the 5 playoff series that he has played in prior to this one, it didn't matter how many games he played in. He had not scored 15-plus in every single game. It was a fascinating statistic because he is a good player. And he's like right on the edge, right on the cusp of star versus superstar. But the moments like this, this is what you're going to remember. So even if he does have a performance, I mean, I don't know that many people know he had a performance like this in the previous series. He just didn't play that well against Cleveland. There was like an 8-pointer in there, in a game where it could have like really taken this series over for Indianapolis. They might have been able to put it away. And he had 8 points in one of the games. He's like 2 of 8. My man's looking like James Harden out there, except it was not in an elimination game. It was just in a put it away kind of game. But the moments, you're going to remember the choke. You're going to remember that. And if you're a Knicks fan and you're like, Denton, you're gonna eat your words in 5 games, 4 games, whatever. You'll remember that too. This is now bulletin board material for the New York Knicks when he's doing the joke. Or that viral photo that's been making its way around Twitter of Reggie Miller pointing at Tyrese Halliburton after
Emperor Palpatine.
I mean, I'm a Star Wars geek. Most of you know that. I love the comparison. The Palpatine looking at Anakin pointing saying, "You did good.
Good, Anakin.
You did good." The only difference in that one, Max, is that I don't think they're the bad guys. I think the Pacers are the good guys in this. It's the little man going up against the juggernaut that the NBA wants to see. Adam Silver is on his knees praying to whatever divinity he serves, whatever god he serves, saying, "I want the Knicks in the finals. The ratings would be huge. The gates for James Dolan would be huge. It was like $400 to get in the door last night. Those numbers are only going to rise as this series progresses. You got all the big sillies, the big superstars. My boy Timmy Tim Chalamet is at basically every game. He got the Jenners at a game in like 2 games ago, and they were passionately staring at him, not the basketball players. That's usually the other way around with that family. Jon Stewart is there. You're seeing all the, like, Jon Hamm was getting involved last night. All the big sillies. Everybody wants New York to win, and I love watching the Pacers do what the Pacers are doing right now. This is what the NBA needed, a revival of a great rivalry and having the Pacers be the one to land the first punch. Halliburton was awesome, man. He was really, really good. And then how about the end? We didn't talk about this. How about the end? Obi Toppin double clutching what ended up being the game winning or the game sealing dunk. Max, do you have any idea who Obi Toppin was drafted by?
I remember there was a certain Northeastern team. I can't I think it was the blue and orange is coming to mind.
It was a Northeastern team in the state of New York, and they were not the team that wears black and gray.
Huh.
So the cherry on top of losing that game with Tyrese Halliburton doing the choke, with Emperor Palpatine Reggie Miller doing commentary. So if you weren't at the game, you had to listen to one of the Knicks' arch rivals call the game for his former team against your team, and then topped off by Obi Toppin, a man that was drafted by the New York Knicks, being the one to have the double clutch like he was in a dunk contest while being defended. It wasn't like wide open down the court. He double clutched on a defender. He was the guy that made the game-sealing play for Indiana to go up 1-0 in the series. 138-135 the final. This was perfection. It was pro wrestling on a basketball floor. If you are not watching the Eastern Conference Finals, you have to watch the Eastern Conference Finals. The West is cool. I get it. That's basically the championship. I don't think either of these two teams, whether it be Indiana or New York, I don't think they stand a chance against OKC. Maybe a little bit of a chance against Minnesota, but the Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are going to end up winning this damn thing. But this has been the most fun in one game that I think I've had in a long, long time watching NBA basketball. It was everything. Perfection, and down goes New York in game number one. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the team at 980. We're also streaming on the YouTube, so you can come hang out. I got the chat open. You got questions, I will answer them in the chat. We will take some of your phone calls coming up in about 30 minutes. I want you to start thinking. The rule was passed yesterday about allowing NFL players to play in the 2028 Olympics. Should Jaden Daniels be one of those? We'll take your calls in 30 minutes time at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will talk some tush-push over the course of today's show, but coming up next, an iconic name passed away yesterday in the NFL. We'll talk about the legacy, briefly, of Jim Irsay. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Still rocking and rolling right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lynnell Willingham taking you up to 1 p.m. Chris Russell will follow things up. Right now we go out to the guest hotline for the second time. This show is where we will continue our conversation surrounding Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin. We're joined by the man of the hour. We've been talking about y'all hour, big fella. Trevor Sikkema, better known as Tampa Bay Trey, joining the program. Lead draft analyst for PFF. Make sure you check out him and my guy Connor Rogers for the NFL Stock Exchange show. You can check that out on YouTube. Just a handsome duo, if I might say, myself, Trevor. I appreciate you giving us some time, man. I feel like it's been forever.
I know. I appreciate you having me back on, man. I know when you texted me to come on the show, I was like, oh, man, I haven't popped on with Lynnell in a little while. So this would be a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, indeed, man. I always love talking to you during this time of year because I call it list season, Trevor. Everyone's putting out their lists ahead of 2025. Last year, I believe PFF had Terry McLaurin ranked that as the 16th best wide receiver in the NFL. This year, he jumps all the way up to 10. Trevor, I want you to explain the first line of this blurb. McLaurin is the toughest player to rank on this list. Why is your evaluation of Terry oftentimes so difficult?
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, one, ranking wide receivers in the NFL, especially when you were in, I would say, like tier one, tier two, tier three, really the top 20 wide receivers, it's very difficult. Like the it's razor thin margins for a lot of these guys. And then especially once you get outside of, I would say, the top eight, like a lot of it's kind of preference and style. And so I think that when you look at a guy like McLaurin, he suffers from being really good at everything, but maybe not having that like Hollywood type of trait. Right? Like think of Drake London or Mike Evans, right? Or even T. Higgins, right? Like these when you think of these wide receivers, you think of that ability to be above the rim, the red zone, the contested catching, their work when it's scoring touchdowns, when space is at a premium. It's easy to envision that. Or if you think of guys like, you know, let's say Jalen Waddle, right? You automatically think of, okay, the speed, the explosiveness, world-class speed. When you think of Terry McLaurin, he's just a damn good wide receiver. But then it's like, okay, well, what's his calling card? You know, like, where am I? Why am I putting him exactly above a T. Higgins or a Jalen Waddle or a Devontae Smith or something? And so sometimes Terry suffers actually from being really good at everything, which is a funny way to go about it. And ultimately, I landed with him at number 10 on my rankings. And I'll be honest, I had him sort of all over the place, like within that range, anywhere from, I think I considered him like 9 to 15. I feel like he could have gone anywhere. But the more that I looked at it, the rest of that blurb as you read it, you know, you talk about DK Metcalf or Mike Evans or Drake London and all these guys who have great contested catchability. Terry McLaurin has the most contested catches of any receiver since 2020.
Yeah.
And I looked that up as I was doing research, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to fault him for that, certainly. And then last year, we got to see what he was like with a true franchise quarterback throwing him the football. And I just feel as though we got to see more of the best of Terry McLaurin throughout the entire year because of his connection with Jaden Daniels. And a metric that we have at PFF that it's not quite PFF exclusive, but we're one of the only places that's really doing it publicly, is that wins above average metric that we have. And really, in a three-year sample size, which is something I tried to do for this exercise, I was ranking a lot of these wide receivers. You know, I'm looking at one-year sample size. You know, what have you done for me lately last year? But then I also like to do the three-year sample size as well. Terry McLaurin, seventh in the NFL amongst wide receivers for wins above replace, for wins above average. So it just it showcases that this is a guy that has the argument to be called a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and obviously having him at number 10, I've got him right there on the edge of that.
So our friends at the 33rd team actually credited him with the most yards via the go route last year, 384. So when we talk about like that special trait in him, maybe not just having one thing that sticks out, I think it that stat kind of speaks to it perfectly. He's great at contested catches. He also could take the top off of a defense. You mentioned him and Jayden Daniels this past year getting to pair up with each other and helping Washington's offense be one of the more explosive ones in all of the NFL. How do you think the additions of Jalen Lane and Deebo Samuel impact Terry McLaurin from a target standpoint? And do you still think, you know, he will have the same statistical or similar statistical output as last year?
Well, volume might go down a little bit naturally, but I will tell you that, you know, it's sort of the answer that I think everybody would give is I think the efficiency only goes up, right? Yeah. I think that you have the ability to put him in a lot of really good situations. I like Jalen Lane and Deebo Samuel specifically because it pairs very well to what you just said there. I think that people think that Jalen Lane, oh, look at this guy, you know, he runs super fast. He's going to be able to take the top off the defense himself. They'll send him deep on vertical routes, and they will do that with him. But if you watch his film at Virginia Tech last year, Virginia Tech was trying to get the ball in his hands in any way.
Yeah.
And that meant, you know, screens, slants, but even wide receiver reverses. You know, they were giving this guy the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And so you think about Deebo Samuel and when he was at his best back in 2021 being utilized as a wide receiver and also a running back at times with what he could do out of the backfield as a ball carrier. You've now got two guys that you lean on pretty heavily in that area. And I think that just really frees up Terry to be more of that intermediate and deep wide receiver on the team. As the defenses have to creep up, you know, you're hoping that, you know, they're going to have to creep up a little bit to guard Deebo Samuel and Jalen Lane. That's when Terry McLaurin can really help you and kill the other team deep down the field. And, you know, he is fast, right? Yes. I don't want to take anything away from Terry McLaurin, but it's funny. It's a little bit less explosive. It's a little bit more smooth. And then I think that the calling card for him deep down the field is that deep ball tracking and that separation that he creates right as the ball is coming in. It's so subtle. It's so smooth. It's so savvy. And again, the way that Terry McLaurin wins isn't always Hollywood. It's not always the way that people get to point to and say, like, yes, elite, dominant here. But when you put all the pieces together, you get a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, I think. And I think that, again, just having Jayden Daniels and allowing him to showcase that more with that franchise quarterback throwing him the football, it just became too obvious to where I said, you know what, we've got to bring it. We've got to move. Too many years now we have said, well, if McLaurin had a great receiver, he did.
Yeah.
And he showcased us that he was able to do all of this at an even higher level with a great quarterback throwing in the football. And with that, yeah, I think you have to move him up those rankings.
And Trevor, you know how we are here locally in D.C. I credit us as one of the smarter fan bases in the NFL. People were ready to riot. This offense was scoring 30-plus points a game early in the season, Trevor, and Terry wasn't getting the ball. People were ready to riot about it. Cliff did a nice job moving him around. I know it was something that you all wrote about last year. I'm excited to see how he evolves. He was not at the OTA session the other day. My sources internally in D.C. say it's not a big deal. One could think it's because of the contract that is looming for him. Right now, his $22.7 million AAV ranks 16th in the National Football League. Where do you think he slots when he puts pen to paper on this new deal? And then I guess a two-parter for you. Should there be some hesitancy with Washington to give him the bag, so to speak, because this is his age 30 season coming up?
Yeah, I without having the list right in front of me, yeah. I would say that I think he'll land somewhere between the fifth and eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL when he gets this new contract. Like I
fifth
think
is real quick, Trevor. Fifth, AJ Brown at $32 million. Eighth, Tyreek Hill at 30. So
yes, okay. So I think it will be somewhere like within that range. And I think there's probably, now that you say those names, I think there's and their AAV. I think there's probably a couple of players that really are also within that 30 range who might be, you know, like 9th, 10th, 11th. So yeah. I think it'll be somewhere within there. But I think they're going to want to do well by McLaurin, who is really, from all accounts, certainly from this side of things, has been a leader for them throughout some years that were disappointing, certainly on the offensive side of the football. And I think that they will want to reward him. It feels like the ownership and just the culture that is the Washington Commanders now are going to want to do that. And so I think that he would land somewhere between that fifth to eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And honestly, I wouldn't have hesitancy. And the reason why is because right now you have the most valuable thing in all of sports. And that is a franchise caliber quarterback who is playing on a rookie contract, even with him getting drafted number two overall, because you think about it, Jaden's going into his second year of his rookie contract. That rookie contract goes at least 4 years, likely that fifth year option. But of course, I think Washington will probably do the right thing and will probably get ahead of that once they get to that fourth year. If McLaurin's got, he's got one more year on his deal, I assume, right? Okay, so he's got one more deal, one more year on his current deal. If you sign him to a 3-year extension,
right, that's the number.
That then lines up the timeline with when you would then have to pay Jaden Daniels. And at that point, Terry McLaurin is, he's going to be 33, 34, whatever it is. And you're probably looking at shifting who your top wide receiver option is there anyway. Right. So I think that all parts of this line up for the fact that Terry's going to get a new deal. It's going to be a 2-3 year extension, something like that. They're going to pay him to get him back into the top eight of wide receivers paid per year. And I think that it just lines up with exactly where this team is in their winning window, very clearly getting to that NFC championship game last year.
So DK Metcalf slotted to make $33 million annually on the new deal that he signed in Pittsburgh. I would think Terry, same draft class as DK, if I'm not mistaken, will want to pass that number. So I was looking, Trevor, kind of at 3 years, $34 million per. That would make it 3 years, $102 million. So it seems like the guarantees obviously will impact that, but I think we're on the same page here. What do you say to some of the Terry McLaurin detractors, though, Trevor? Because, we follow this thing closely here in D.C. You look at that Atlanta Falcons overtime game where Jaden Daniels strapped the team to his back. Terry McLaurin going up against A.J. Terrell, one of the top corners, 7 targets, just 1 reception. You go back to that first meeting against Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football going up against Quinion Mitchell, just 1 catch, 2 targets. What are the limitations of his game, and how much does that factor in when you're determining whether or not to give him the deal or not?
Yeah, look, I think it's a situation where, you're going to continue to see growth from him. I really do, especially in those single coverage situations.
Yeah.
And I think that will happen with established quarterback play, to be honest with you, good quarterback play. I think that the single coverage numbers will get better for him even this upcoming season. And look, there are some these great cornerbacks, they get paid a lot of money too. I know you obviously pay your top wide receiver to win those matchups more often than not, but I would argue that I think that Terry McLaurin wins those options more often than not. And the thing is that sometimes guys aren't necessarily these single coverage dominators, and I think sometimes you want them to be, but hey, sometimes the defense just has a really good game plan for you. And I think that that's the whole reason why you trade for a Deebo Samuel, why you go get a Jalen Lane, is because it's not as much we've got to go get somebody to help Terry because he can't dominate himself. No, you want to be able to have a good pass game ecosystem, right? Jamar Chase exists, but the Bengals still paid T. Higgins, right?
Right.
A.J. Brown still exists, but you still got Devontae Smith right there. Puka Nacua is phenomenal, but you still went and you signed Davante Adams. I just think that what I would say to the detractors and people who would bring that up is just wait till this year, man. I think that this year we're going to see a really efficient, really good Terry McLaurin, because Cliff Kingsbury is going to have the opportunity to put him in a lot of really advantageous situations, especially if Deebo looks anything close to that 2021 version of Deebo Samuel, now that he's in a new system, now that he's hopefully healthy, and he's not as frustrated like he clearly was last year in San Francisco. And so that's sort of what I would say to him, is that, man, there's a lot of numbers that point to him being arguably a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and I think those numbers only get stronger this upcoming season.
A couple of more moments with our pal Trevor Sikkema, the lead draft analyst for PFF, also the co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, with Connor Rogers. You can check that out on YouTube and wherever you download your podcast. I know you've been high on the burgundy and gold this offseason, my friend. I've seen a lot of the work that you've done on Washington, and you liking the additions that they have made. If you're making a short list of Super Bowl contenders, teams that are in that conversation, how firmly entrenched is Washington there?
Has to be, right? I mean, yeah. You look at what they did last year in their first year of a lot of those guys coming together. Now, I will say this. It gets harder to repeat success the longer you do it. So it will certainly take the next step for Jaden Daniels. It will take the next step specifically for Cliff Kingsbury, right? Because there are a lot of times where Kingsbury has had success in this league or college football or whatever it is, and then he kind of gets figured out a little bit here. So he absolutely has to evolve. But you look at this roster, it's still a really great roster. I like the additions that they have made. I am a big Dan Quinn guy, somebody who I think can get the most out of his players. The players absolutely love him. I think that we saw that even in the last couple of years that he was struggling with the Atlanta Falcons. Those players still played for him at all times. And so whatever these guys have in the tank, I think they're going to give it to this team and to this coaching staff. And so you have to absolutely have Washington in that category because they were one game away from it last year. So I think that this is a team that got better. I am a little bit worried about their front seven. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Like if there's an area that I'm really concerned with, it's that, as well as certainly the secondary and how it's going to shape out, right? How good is Marshawn Lattimore and how available is he going to be for them this season? How much can they get out of that second round pick in Trey Amos, who I was a big fan of, but we'll see. It's tough to play corner as a rookie in the NFL. And then what are you doing with Mike Sanders still? Is he playing more in the slot? Are you keeping him to the outside? What are you doing with the rest of that cornerback group? So I actually think that it's going to continue to be fireworks for them on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, can that defense be a little bit more stout, really take that next step and maybe even get them into the Super Bowl this year?
They're going to have to, going up against a much more difficult set of offenses in 2025. You brought up the front seven. Real quick, your thoughts on some of their immediate replacements, Trevor, because this is where some of the detractors go and point. You swapped out John Allen for Javon Kinlaw. You swapped out Jeremy Chinn for Will Harris. I think anybody with good football eyes would tell you they downgraded at both of those two spots. How much of an impact do you expect that to play? I think Marshawn, like you mentioned, is the linchpin of the defense.
Right.
If he plays well, everything changes.
Right. I think that they need a huge year from Johnny Newton, who is somebody that I absolutely loved when he was fully healthy at Illinois. But, like, he's got to take that next step. I mean, Kinlaw really struggled with the 49ers. He struggled with the Jets. I guess I can sort of, like, understand the familiarity of him coming over and playing for a familiar Commander system. But I just I'm a little bit wary of how much money they gave him. I like the Dietrich Wise addition, but I think he's more of like a rotational depth guy. Dorrance Armstrong, I guess you're leaning on him. I mean, he's kind of got to be your sack guy this year, and he's got to take that next step as well. But to me, a lot of it revolves around Johnny Newton, because if Newton is good, then all of a sudden you got him and Deron Payne in the middle. Armstrong is at least solid as one of your edge rushers. Dietrich Wise, I think, could be solid and very versatile for you as well. That, to me, could be a defensive line that is good enough. But if Newton doesn't take that next step, now you start getting a little bit worried, because now you got to put a little bit too much on the plate of guys who you might not be ready for.
For sure. Appreciate your time, as always, my friend. Keep up the good work. We will talk soon, my man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Anytime.
That is Tampa Bay Trey, a.k.a. Trevor Sikkema. Give him a follow on all social media platforms, at Tampa Bay Trey. Doesn't get much better than talking to Trevor Sikkema when it comes to the burgundy and gold. He was pretty savage about the defense, don't you think? Not a fan of the Javon Kinlaw signing. Really thinks Johnny Newton's going to have a big year. We had a lot to chew on between now and the start of training camp, but if that conversation didn't do it, we're getting warmed up, man. We're right there, right getting close to crossing the finish line when it comes to the NFL season getting kicked off. As I mentioned, next week, the first time that the entire team is going to be made available on the practice field to the media. Can't wait for that to happen. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. One final segment before we hand things over to Chris Russell.
All right, last night, the Nats, they walk off the Atlanta Braves. They win by a score of 8-7. Robert Hassel becomes the first Nat to notch two hits and one stolen base in the Nationals' debut. The Nats extend their win streak to 5 games. The Panthers, they wax the Hurricanes 5-0 in the series to take a 2-0 lead. The Thunder, they beat the Timberwolves 118-103. The 2025 MVP, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, put up 38 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists. They jump out to a 2-0 lead in the series as well. Caitlin Clark, her 140-game streak of scoring at least one 3-pointer has come to a close. The Fever still able to pull out the win 81-76. And the Colorado Rockies, they are off to the worst 50-game start in MLB history after they are swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. They sit at 8-42. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.